Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Carries me. You know, I'm not as young as I used to be. You know, you start getting to a place that you walk everywhere you go. And when you think you're running, you're still walking. Just need to start looking at things a little different. But we thank God for all God's property this morning. God has put something on my heart. You know, we've been going through some challenges. You know, the enemy decides to attack. And we wonder why we go through these things. Well, the scripture plainly says that God chastens whom he loves. So he teaches us. And every time I go through something, I begin to understand that God is teaching me. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. We as a people really, really can't understand why we go through so much. When it looks like everybody else is doing well, we still get not enough. Have more month than we have money. I work in social scientists. I'm a behavioral scientist, and I noticed that people, I diagnosed 30-something folks this month with bipolar symptoms. And ain't nothing wrong with it, except that I'm only doing Band-Aid work by giving them medication. It is Jesus Christ who is the balm from Gilead, who is the healing Christ, the delivering Christ. Somebody need to be set free. They need to call on Jesus today. And I was thinking about this morning, that even though I've accepted Christ, somebody just want him as a savior, but I accept him as Lord also. So he's the ruler of my life. And as he being the ruler of my life, I begin to understand that I am on a journey. Somebody say journey. This journey is a day-to-day living within the boundaries of the will of God. I don't want to go too fast now because I want you to understand this. You might not get it today, but if you chew on it all week, you'll get some at the end of it. We want to go to Acts 27. We're going to work through that. The first verse we're going to start out with. And y'all praying, aren't you? Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor. Yes, y'all get on the front row. You're going to need me on the front row one day. Praise God. Say amen when you have it. I'm going to be working with New International Version and the King James Version. But this is a simple story about a journey that Paul took. It said, after 5 days, when it was decided that we would sail to Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius. This is interesting because one of the things we have to understand, sometimes, this is Acts 1, sometimes we are always sent someplace and we don't know the mode of travel. Paul is going on a journey. But before he went on the journey, it was a decision made. Let me sidebar here for a second. We spend a lot of time talking about choices. And I've learned that there's a difference between a choice and a decision. Young people make a lot of good choices and make a lot of bad choices. Older folks that have experience, data, information, they make decisions. They know reasonably what the outcome is going to be on the action that they're doing. So therefore, they make good decisions and bad decisions. Amen? Well, you know I'm telling the truth. Folks that go to jail more than once, making bad decisions. You break the law, you go to jail. It's simple math. But you see, the Bible is specific. It said they decided. Sometimes we're going to have to sit down and really decide to do what God tells us to do. It may not look favorable. It may not look like you're going to win. But if you trust God and you sit down and you decide to be obedient to the word of God, everything is going to work all right. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. He got on the boat with the centurion who was named God. The Bible is written and he only named people that did something. Everybody else say that man, that woman, that child. But people that did something significant, their names is mentioned. So Julius' name was mentioned. And Paul began to understand his ministry on board this ship. Before the ship even got underway, he said, lest we abide in the ship, you can't be saved. Huh? Somebody need to know that unless you stay in Christ, you won't be saved. You're fooling yourself if you think you can make it outside of him. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. Says, much time have been lost and sailing, but a dangerous weather came about. Every time you make a decision to get on board and go on your journey, don't think it's going to be smooth sailing. There's going to be some weather. Like last night, I slept through it. I was in the arms of Jesus last night. Everybody got to go through something. I don't care what you're living like, you're going to have to go through something. And so they're on this ship and dangerous weather came and all of a sudden fear set inside. It is something about fear. We either normally say we fight or flight. We either stay here and fight or we run away from it. But there's some type of fear that comes that we just stand still and just let it happen to us. That's that stunning fear. That's that deer in the headlights fear. Have you ever been just stuck with fear? This boat was in a dangerous weather that they had no control over. We have no control over the weather. But not only that, it went on further till the different seas came together. And all of a sudden, instead of Paul preaching, the centurion said it. See, what happens when we get in trouble? You preachers know. Well, we're going to go borrow some money. We're going to fix this and we're going to fix that. And then we'll do this here and we'll paint. They decided to tie the boat up, wrap the straps and bolts around the boat to hold it together. Now, this boat is spinning in the water, and this is what they decided to do. And then they decided to let the boats down and pull the anchors out so they could steady the ship, because this is the manly knowledge they understood. But the centurion, remember what Paul said. So you never know who you're talking to. Unless we stay in the ship, we can't be saved. They decided to stay in the ship, and the ship crashed, and the centurion said, souls of you that can swim, and those that can't swim, just hold on to the pieces. Sometimes on this journey, we're just holding on to the pieces. Sometimes we don't know how we're going to make it. I'm just holding on to the pieces that God has given you. A piece of Jesus is better than nothing. Come on and tell God thank you today. Here they are. Here they are. The boat is cracking up. They've used all their manly wisdom. I know I'm guilty of this. I can fix it. My wife tell me, don't touch no tools, honey. That's actually a weapon in your hands. Just, I was in the church here and everybody was doing, Pastor Marquise was doing something, Pastor was doing something, Pastor Franklin's wife, First Lady, she was doing something, Precious was doing something, my wife was doing something. They had me sitting over in the corner. So I told them, I'll paint the building. And they all looked at me, and sure enough, I did. I spent every dime I had on me to get them people to come here and paint the building. You got to be wise. This ship was cracked up and they had no choice but to hold on to the pieces and swim to shore. Sometimes you got to swim to directions that you don't know where your help is coming from. We'd be in situations that we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know who's going to help us get from here to there. And here they found themselves in an island called Malta where there were heathens. Some of us got heathens in our family. Some folks got heathens in our life. But you never know who God's going to use to bring you through. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. You don't know who God has set you up with. You don't know where God is taking you to. This might not be the island you were thinking of, but thank God it's an island. Hallelujah. They got to the island and they got off the island and the people that were heathens treated them so nice you just fed them and kept them warm. And I could just imagine everybody's eyes wide open because heathens in those days ate people. They were looking at this because they never knew what to expect next. But when God's plan is set, it's set good. What does scripture say? All things do what? Work. For the good. You got to be called. And you got to be in His purpose. And then you can count on it working good for you. Here they are. And you know, like Paul is just like my pastor here. My pastor see you working. He wants to get right in the mix. I'm used to us old preachers sitting back and being a part pointing. My pastor get in the mix and goes to work. I used to be like that. Paul got busy. They were gathering sticks to build a fire, and Paul got busy with them. He picked up some sticks and was getting ready to put it on the fire, and the Bible says a snake latched onto him. You never know where you're working at that there's some snakes in this world. And see, a snake is interesting. This snake was interesting because the Bible didn't say he bit him. He latched on to him. You got folks willing to latch on to you to spew venom in you. You hear what I'm saying? You got to be careful. The Bible says don't hook up with folks too quick. Let them prove something. Then I got a friend that is my friend. He did some really cold-blooded stuff to me. Excuse my colloquialism, but y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm getting sued. He show up with my enemy. My lifelong friend. And then the Bible says, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. And that's all of us. And the Lord put him through a trial in his journey. So he's just now getting out of work release. And he calls me up and says, you were with me when my mother was killed. You were with me. And he named off the different events that I stood by him. He said, can't we just get back to those days? Sometimes you don't know where God's going to take you to because of your behavior today. I never went back and tried to do anything to this brother. But God fixed it. We got to treat our enemies, our frenemies, right. We got to treat them even if we know what the nature of being a snake is. Does that make sense? Even if you know the nature is a snake, you treat them with love. Besides cowboys, I watch all the animal movies, and I seen how they picked the snake up gently with some prongs and held him out here and took him over here and put him in a box, put him in a sack, and then put him in a box, drove him someplace, and let him loose. You got to do people like that sometime. The snake latched on to him, and you know when people know what a snake and what the situation of evil is in their community, they say he must have did something wrong. I was on dialysis for 6 years, And people were saying, oh, he must have sinned. He must have sinned. I don't know what they said when I got a kidney. But while I was on dialysis, they told me something was wrong. And this is what these folks have said. He must be a murderer. He must be a criminal. Because his snake bit him and he's getting ready to die. Let us watch him swell up and die. But when nothing happens, see, God has a way to make you a miracle. Touch yourself and say, I'm a miracle this morning. Somebody looking at what you're going through. Somebody's looking at what you're going through. And God is making you a miracle in somebody's eyes this morning. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. I'm the miracle this morning. Oh, hallelujah. They was so astonished that they start praising him. This is what people will do. When they see what God will do for you, they'll want the same thing. But see, they don't understand what you went through. They don't know how many times you had to go and say, Lord, Lord, Lord. Sometimes we didn't have the words to say, but Lord, can you help me? Oh, God, consider my record. In the name of Jesus, bless me, Lord God. See me through this. Paul was faithful. Paul could count on it and look at what he had done, and all of a sudden the storm was something that he could live through. The ship is wrecking for some of us this morning. But I'm going to tell you, unless you stay in the ship, you can't make it right now. Somebody's going through things today that they didn't think they'd ever go through at this age. But I'm here to speak into your life this morning and say, unless you stay in the ship and hold on to Jesus and remember his first works, you can't be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, I believe there's a reason for me being here. I'm going to testify for Paul. God don't make no mistakes. There's a reason for you being here this morning. There's a reason that your enemy and your frenemy and all those people are watching you. Because God has set it up that somebody can see Christ in you. Can we say amen? I'm so honored this morning because I had no idea that I would be here. Because 2004, they told me I had 6 months to live. I had no idea. I got my family around me. I'm doing what you're supposed to do. And I tried to get my kids ready and let my wife know I'm ready. And we were sitting there. We had lost everything. And I was dying. But I wanted to get my house in order. Pastor White flew from Beaumont, Texas, and came to where I was at and sat by my bed. And he said, God told me to tell you, you shall live and not die. Do you hear me? Some of us are going through death-defying situations. It don't have to be physical. It could be on your job. It don't have to be on your job. It could be your health. It could be your finances. But I'm here to tell you that God will bring you through. God will deliver you. You just have to call on him in the time of need. You got to trust that you called out. That you're working within his purpose. You got to trust what God has set up for you. Don't worry about it. Because all things work. Somebody said it's a fixed fight. Touch yourself and say, this ain't tough. This is a fixed fight. I'm going to make it through this because I know who took me through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on and say hallelujah. On a shipwreck. Paul never would have got on that ship had he had known what the journey presented. Some of y'all never would have started out if God had showed you what you were getting ready to go through. I just want to put this in your spirit. There's a reason for everything in Christendom. There's a reason. He's preparing you for something you can't handle right now. You're going through this right now so you can go to the next level. I'm moving to the next level. Hallelujah. You've been going through coasting. When I first got saved, I thought every day, I didn't want to step on no ants. I didn't want to kill nothing no more. I wanted to love everybody. I just thought the church was so nice. I went to church every time I could find some place to go to church. I tried to go to church. I just thought this was it. This was it, and I'm just basking in what God has done. And oh, and singing, aren't you glad that the Lord saved me? You know, I'm just rejoicing all the time. And then one day, somebody in the church said something that really sent me out there. And then I got to think, what's going on? I had to get ready. So I'm standing outside of the church crying. Because my old flesh said one thing. You didn't hear me? And the born again man is saying, no, you got too much invested now. You see a different way. Your value system has changed. You know, you've professed it. Now you got to possess it. So I'm sitting out there crying, figure out, what does that mean? I mean, I'm used to shaking folks up that got me upset, you know. But what does it mean you got to possess this? Because they told me that if I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart, you shall be saved. Does that make sense? Well, the believing is more than just saying I believe. There got to be a change. I've said it several times. I really knew I was saved when I was by myself. There had to be a change in me. I had to accept him as Lord and Savior. This is our challenge today. Whether you want to admit it or not, you're on a journey. You can take it with Christ or you can take it on your own, but you're on a journey. The Bible says the rain fall on the just and the unjust. We're all going through something this morning. What do we do? What do we do when we don't know what to do? I'm pleading the blood of Jesus this morning. My situation needs bigger and stronger help than just CNN. Come on and tell God thank you today. What do we do when the enemy has caused us to look at the landing to be a little tougher than what we thought it was going to be? I'm calling on Jesus this morning. What do we do when our finances don't meet up? I'm calling on Jesus this morning. Song said, my Father is rich in house and land. He holds the key in the palm of his hands. Rubies and diamonds and silver and gold. I'm a child. Touch yourself. I'm a child of the King. Wherever I go, I got money. I got paper. I know how to make it. Because God is looking out after me. What do you do? Some of us never been strung out on nothing. You know, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're not in Christ, you're strung out on sin. If you're just professing and not possessing, you're strung out. I run rehab centers and, you know, that type of, they say, well, how can you do this? And how can you be so hard when people don't pay you? I thought the money was laid up for the righteous. They're doing wicked things. We need to be ready to tell somebody about Jesus. That makes sense? But how can you tell him if you don't know him? How can you show him if you don't possess him? This is where we're at. We got to ask God for strength to witness. We got young churches. I started my church out, and my only member told me, I don't want you preaching in front of me at home and here in the church. I want that church when you come in here. My wife said that. Like I said, what do? I began to fast and pray. Church, we got to win souls in these last and evil days. This world is holding together because of you, because of your prayers. We've never seen this type of insanity. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you. We've never seen this type of foolishness where death is wholesale. Where I had this 18-year-old girl come in with me, and she is just, it's interesting because they'll confess stuff to me, you know, and they'll just sit up, and I said, well, we need to pray, honey, because this is a little deep. You know, this textbooks ain't going to reach this. 18 years old and then been with 40 different men between the age of 15 and 18. Don't know why. You know, family don't want nothing to do with it. And so the insurance company sends it to me. If you're not prayed up, if you don't have no power, you're not going to be able to reach these folks. I'm telling you, we don't want to look for retreads, people jump from church to church. We want to look for somebody that needs to know that Jesus is a forgiver and a savior, a healer and a deliverer. We need to be able to witness what we know. Move on beyond the Apollos ministry. Preach a good message, but can't take them to where they need to be. Church, we need to be ready for battle. You got to suit up and put on the whole armor. And only way you can put on the whole armor is you stay in the word. Stay in the word. Because that's how we're going to make it. That's how we go. This may be my last time, but I want you to know that Jesus saves. From the guttermost to the uttermost, Jesus saves. He'll break down fertile grounds and give you a chance to find out who he is. All you got to do is trust him. Trust him. Trust him. This morning, I've just spoke a little bit about a journey. But I want to tell you, look at your journey. Don't give up. Don't give up. It's a fixed fight. Why would you give up? The fix is in. Does that make sense? He said, you win. I read the book. We win. And that's what we need to hold on to. That's what we need to hold on to. I believe everybody in here knows something about Jesus or she wouldn't be here today. But I also believe that everybody in here need to have a little more strength. A little more strength to move to the next level in their ministry. A little more strength to be convinced and convicted that I'm going to get on ship and start this journey the right way. Everybody needs help. Oh, I need some help. I'm the first one. You know what? God gave me to kidney failure. Scripture said it was good that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. You know, not just the word, but your statutes. While I was in that chair 4 days a week, 6 hours a day, my blood going out of me 300 to 400 times a day and being put back in. And in the centers, people were dying on the left and dying on the right of me. And everything was the stench of death and blood in those centers. God blessed me to put mine in my home. But he blessed me to really, really learn about him. You know, thinking about wish I was dead, why am I still here? Not realizing this is part of my journey. So you're going to get there. If you ain't been there, it might not be dialysis, but it's going to be something. These little kids can cause you to say, oh, Lord. Lord, Lord, Lord. If you put your trust in Jesus, you know why I can preach this? Because that's the truth. I live it. My pastor knows what I go through. We was laughing the other day. How the enemy attacks with no basis. And you say, well, why are they doing this? It's not supposed to make sense to you. Huh? Because it is not for your benefit. It's for their benefit. Because if you stand still, God will reveal himself. Come on now. Quit saying, I'm waiting on my money and my check to come. I'm waiting on God to move. Because when God moves, it's more than enough. Every check I ever got, it was just not enough. Yo, oh, I got a check. I got a check and my heart was dancing. I wasn't. You know? And now I'm looking for another check. But when God moves, not only will he provide funds, he will provide peace. Come on now. He'll provide it from a direction that you never expected. Hallelujah. This is what he wants us to do today. We have a lot in common. This means we can get to church and have a good church. Because we have the same God. We have the same Lord. We're all working on the same thing. You understand? I'm seeking perfection through Jesus Christ. You know what's so wild about that? Is that that's a forever thing. You know, and this is the reason we can worship and praise him together today. But right now, I'm going to ask you to search yourself. This is where the challenges come. You ain't got to listen. You here today, you already put yourself on the altar showing up. I mean, really, really, really. I was getting dressed and I wasn't watching TV, Pastor. The reason I was late. And the Seahawks was behind. I wasn't, Pastor Marquise, I wasn't looking. I was getting dressed. My wife had left me and was sitting in the car, and I'm hollering for her, and nobody answered me, and then finally they kicked the field goal. But I made up my mind that I'm coming here to be on the altar this morning. Because this is where my gift is at. The altar is where my blessing is at. Oh, I'm saved. I'm cool with that. Y'all cool with that? I'm saved, but I need some power. I'm saved, but I need some strength. I'm saved, but I need some wisdom. Lord, I'm saved, but I need some encouragement this morning. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.